turning to Jeremiah chapter 38 in my Bible, and I would encourage you to do the same. We're going to look at a number of scriptures together this morning, and I would encourage you to turn and to look at these in your Bible to allow the Spirit to take His sword, the Word of God, and to convict you this morning. If you're visiting with us, we are, as a congregation, reading God's Word together this year, and to the best of our ability, we are reading it in chronological order. As we come to Jeremiah chapter 38, we are in the days of Zedekiah, who was the final king of the southern kingdom of Judah. At this time, Jeremiah is in Jerusalem prophesying. Daniel is in the Babylonian palace with Nebuchadnezzar working, and Ezekiel is down by the river in Babylon with the second wave of Jews that the Babylonians have carried into captivity. It's against the backdrop of all of that that Zedekiah will have his final conversation with the prophet Jeremiah. Let's begin reading in verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life. Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. Then Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said, verse 20, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you, your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again. So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. I want us to just stop and think about what Jeremiah says to Zedekiah in verse 17. If Zedekiah had surrendered to the king of Babylon at this time, look at what would have happened. The soul of Zedekiah would live. The city of Jerusalem would not be burned with fire, and Zedekiah and his house would live. In other words, they would have had a home to come home to. If Zedekiah had surrendered at this point, the city of Jerusalem could have been spared. When Zedekiah counters the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah responds to him in verse 20, notice how Jeremiah speaks to him this final time. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. As we are now reading the prophecies of Ezekiel that he is being given by the Lord during the reign of Zedekiah, this week as we read chapter 18, in Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning in verse 30, we will hear God say something about his heart. And as God communicates to Zedekiah and to the Israelites who are still in Jerusalem and those who are in the palace in Babylon and those who are down by the river, and to us, we need to understand something about the heart of God. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one of you according to his ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that your iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why should you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. In chapter 33 and in verse 11, God communicates through his watchman Ezekiel, just prior to the fall of Jerusalem. Word comes to the captives down by the river in verse 21 of chapter 33. In chapter 33, verse 11, around the time that Jeremiah and Zedekiah are having this final conversation through the prophet Ezekiel, we learn about the heart of God. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? A passage that we're more familiar with that communicates the same thing about the heart of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, 11, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all, including Zedekiah at this time, would come to repentance. That's the heart of God. As we think about the heart of Zedekiah, let's turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the Holy Spirit gives us some insight into the heart of Zedekiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning in verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more according to all the abominations of the nations and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem. The heart of God for Zedekiah is that he would obey, that he would repent, that he would find forgiveness. Zedekiah's heart was hardened against turning, against repenting, against obeying. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 39 and let's read the rest of the story. And as we turn to Jeremiah chapter 39 and we consider the opportunity that God has given Zedekiah at this time, we need to appreciate the fact that all of us as image bearers have been given the freedom to choose. And as we consider the liberty that God has given us to choose, we must be sober concerning the fact that whatever choice we choose to make, we are slaves to the consequences of that choice. Zedekiah, please, please obey. You'll be spared, your family will be spared, the city will be spared. You'll have a home to come home to after the captivity is over. What did Zedekiah choose? Chapter 39, beginning in verse 1. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. Verse 4. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night by way of the king's garden by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by the way of the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put Zedekiah's eyes out and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city, and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing, and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. Turn with me to chapter 52 and consider verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 52, verse 11. In chapter 38, Zedekiah calls for Jeremiah. They have this final conversation. Jeremiah, what should I do? You should surrender. You should surrender to the Babylonians now. And if you do, you'll live. Your family will live. The city will be spared. You'll go into Babylonian captivity, but you'll have a home to come home to when God has finished disciplining you. How did Zedekiah respond to Jeremiah's appeal? Please obey. In chapter 52, verse 11, we read the conclusion of Zedekiah's story here on earth. The Babylonians put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him in bronze fetters, took him to Babylon, and put him in prison until the day of his death. Because Zedekiah chose not to obey, instead of surrendering to the Babylonians in Jerusalem, he escaped, and they caught up with him in Jericho, and they took him to Riblah, where they killed his sons in front of him. I've seen some things in my life that I'd like to get out of my head that are there. I've been blessed with three children of my own. I cannot imagine the horrificness of that. And to compound the horror of what he just saw, that was the last thing he saw. That's the last image that he saw before he went into the darkness. And then he was carried away to Babylon in bronze fetters. As we turn our attention now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I want to suggest to you that there is something worse than this. And in my mind, and from my experience, I really can't think of anything that would be worse than what Zedekiah experienced. But as we have been emphasizing through Jeremiah, it is not in man to direct his own steps. It is not in man to understand our deceitful hearts. We need help from outside of ourselves to understand our heart, to understand our way. And we need some revelation from above concerning the fact that there is something that is much worse than what Zedekiah suffered as a direct result of his disobedience to the Word of God. In 2 Thessalonians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something worse than what Zedekiah experienced. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 describes it as everlasting destruction. When we think about the business of hell and we begin to look into God's Word for information concerning it, what we find is that the person who talked the most about it was Jesus Himself. And Jesus described hell as a place. He described it as a prepared place. He described it as a place where the presence of God is not. There is something worse than what Zedekiah experienced. Look at Ezekiel chapter 12. Ezekiel references Zedekiah not by name, and not even as a king. Ezekiel references Zedekiah as a prince. And I believe what Ezekiel is communicating on behalf of God is that heaven didn't recognize Zedekiah as a king. When we start connecting all of those dots and we look at the final king of Judah that was of the seed of David, Coniah, and then we look at the background of Zedekiah, what we see is that Zedekiah didn't start out as Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar removed Coniah, and then he handpicked Mattaniah and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was Nebuchadnezzar's puppet king in Jerusalem. And their relationship at the beginning of that 11-year period was pretty good. And Zedekiah was just doing everything that Nebuchadnezzar told him to do. And then you talk about a bad move. I mean, Zedekiah decides to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And, you know, that might have been less of a bad move had the true and living God been with him. But God wasn't with him. In fact, while Jeremiah is in Jerusalem pleading with Zedekiah to surrender, Ezekiel was uttering this prophecy concerning him. Ezekiel chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. "And the prince who is among them shall bear his belongings on his shoulder at twilight and go out. They shall dig through the wall to carry them through it. He shall cover his face so that he cannot see the ground with his eyes." What is that describing in symbolic language? It's describing the siege of Jerusalem, where Zedekiah digs out and he takes off in his mind to escape the Babylonians, and he makes it as far as Jericho. And then the Lord says through Ezekiel verse 13, "I will spread my net over him." My net. Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I Am, the true and living God, is using the Babylonians. The Babylonians spread their net over Zedekiah. "He shall be caught in my snare." And notice the prophecy: "I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it, though he die there." How could Zedekiah be taken into Babylonian captivity and die there and never see it? His eyes were plucked out at Riblah. My beloved brethren, there are two descriptions of hell in which it is described in 2 Peter 2:17 and Jude 13 as the blackness of the darkness forever. There is something much worse and seeing your sons die before you and having your eyes gouged out and going to Babylon in darkness. When we think about the work of the prophets at this time, in Jeremiah chapters 27 and 28, there's a lot of talk about yokes. And the false prophet Hananiah says in chapter 28, within 2 years, all this Babylonian nonsense, it'll all be over and everything will go back to the way it was. And in chapter 28 and in verse 13, Yahweh says, "Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron." Wood and iron. A yoke, by definition, is a horizontal frame laid on the necks of oxen that is used metaphorically in scriptures to signify submission to authority. And that's what obedience is all about. It's about submitting our will to His. And as we think about our lives in Christ Jesus, and we think about 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Jesus is coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on those, number one, who do not know God, and number two, on those who do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing God, according to Jesus, John 17:3, that's eternal life. And the people who know their God, Daniel will say in Daniel 11, they will rise up and do great exploits. people who know their God will accept the invitation of Jesus Christ. And the invitation of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, is to come to me. Come to me. Come to my person. Allow me to work in you. Come to me, all you who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And immediately after he talks about rest, notice verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. And then he describes his heart. I am gentle and lowly in heart. And then he says, if you come to me and you take my yoke and you learn from me, then you're going to find rest. And then he says in verse 30, let me tell you about the yoke that I want you to take upon yourself. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. By comparison, my yoke is of wood. The yoke that you're carrying around that is causing you not to be at rest in your heart is a yoke of your own making. It is a yoke of iron. It is a burden that you were never intended to bear. And I want to alleviate that from you. In Romans, the 6th chapter, we get some great insight into everybody's life. Everybody, from the beginning of time, is serving one of two masters. In Romans, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? That is true of everybody. Amen. And as we think about where we are, as you think about where you are as an individual, as I think about where I am right now in my life, where was Zedekiah? Zedekiah was carrying around this yoke of iron, and God, in His great love for Zedekiah and for His people, gave him the opportunity to trade in that yoke of iron for a yoke of wood that would have resulted in him personally being blessed, his children being blessed, his nation being blessed. Everybody would have been blessed had he just obeyed. This one man's choice affected everybody. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Zedekiah's sin led to all sorts of death, spiritual death, physical death. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. What had these Roman Christians done? 2 Thessalonians 1:8, they had come to know God and they had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things of which you are now ashamed? What fruit did Zedekiah have in disobeying the Word of God? We somehow have convinced ourselves that we are the exception to that rule, that whatever the command is that we don't want to obey, that we can somehow disobey it and be blessed. You're not the exception. You will not produce righteousness through disobedience to the loving commands of our Abba Father. Verse 22, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. And the end of Zedekiah's life was death in Babylon in the darkness. The end of those who choose to obey is everlasting life, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as we think about how we present the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people today, There are those that have taken the position who claim to call upon the name of the Lord that the last thing we need to be talking about is sin and hell and eternal punishment and everlasting destruction and the blackness of the darkness forever. That wasn't the position of Jesus, who said, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." Because he talked more about hell than anyone in the New Testament. That wasn't the position of the ambassadors of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God and also trust are well known in your consciousness." I want you to stop and think about this for a sec. We live in a covenant of grace. But within this covenant of grace, we need to remember, as the Hebrew writer speaks to us about the kingdom that we are receiving, "Let us have grace that we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is present tense, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a consuming fire. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." My beloved brethren, there is something much worse than what Zedekiah experienced. And as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other folks, is it good news? Yeah, absolutely it's good news on a lot of different levels. We can be forgiven. We can be set free from this yoke of iron. We can experience abundant life now. There are a lot of positive blessings that have positive consequences. But one of the great blessings of knowing God and obeying the gospel is being delivered from the wrath to come. And so, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, after this grand discussion of reconciliation and what Jesus has done for us, becoming sin so that we might become righteous in Him, "we then, as workers together with Him, also plead." We plead. Zedekiah, please obey. I've sat in places of worship like this and heard preachers stand behind pulpits like this one and talk about how they would never beg somebody to obey the gospel. That's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of Jeremiah. That wasn't the heart of Jesus and of Peter and of Paul. "We plead with you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. For He says," He, Yahweh, the God who raised up the prophet Isaiah in chapter 49, verse 8, "in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Zedekiah's acceptable time, Zedekiah's day of salvation, was when Jeremiah said to him, "Please obey. Please. Please." And when he disobeyed, the gates of mercy slammed shut. And he thought he could escape. And we do that. We run and we think we'll outrun God. "You going to go to Egypt?" I don't think so. He'll send his net down there. "You going to run to Jericho? You going to run to Nineveh? You going to run?" There's no running. This is why our question, what do we learn about God, is so important, because we can't put God in a box. We can't reduce Him to the most holy place in the temple between the cherubim. Is His presence there? Yes. But where else is His presence? It's everywhere. He's omnipresent. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In Romans 5:19, we read about how we can be made righteous in Him and by Him. And our Calvinist friends want to talk about how that's solely a work of God. If you want to be made righteous by Him, then Romans 6:17, obey His gospel. when you obey His gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, then He makes you righteous. In the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus appeals to our very nature. He appeals to the essential characteristics and qualities that make us up. He appeals to your intellect. He appeals to your will. He appeals to your allegiance. He appeals to your conscience and what He says to you about your heart, your conviction, your trust, your surrender. What He says to you about your conscience is that if you want it to be made clean, if you want it to be cleansed, then you have got to allow Me to wash it with My blood. That is why 1 Peter 3:21, baptism is the answer of a good conscience, because only the blood of Jesus, Hebrews 9:14, can wash away your sin and cleanse your conscience. And when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you believe and you repent and you confess and you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 19:1-5, which is what the Ephesians did prior to the writing of the letter to the Ephesians, when you obey that gospel, you are saved by grace through faith. Amen. It is the work of God. Amen. In which none of us can boast. Zedekiah, please obey. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. When the true and living God speaks, whether we are reading in God's Word the words of our God and Father, whether we are reading the red letters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or whether we are reading the Word that the Spirit guided men to write, so that when we would read it, we could trust that in truth what we were reading was the very Word of God. When Yahweh speaks, you will do one of two things. You will either harden your heart like Zedekiah did, or you will be broken and you will be contrite. And Isaiah 57:15 tells us that the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, that He will come to you if you come unto Him broken and contrite, because you first and foremost have come to know Him. That refrain is repeated over and over and over throughout the prophecy of Ezekiel. What was Zedekiah's problem? He did not know the true and living God. What is our problem today? We don't know God. We need to be growing in the grace and the knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18, of our God. Is our God love? Without doubt. Is He also a consuming fire? We need to consider Romans 11:22, the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness upon those who believed, and their belief led into obedience. Severity unto those whose understanding did not compel them to obey, and they reaped the fruits of their choices. We, in the day of judgment, my beloved brethren, if we are in Christ Jesus and we have accepted His invitation, we're going to reap the fruits of His choices. Amen. The choice is yours. And my appeal to you this morning, whoever you are and whatever you need to obey, is that you would please do it. And my encouragement to you, toward me, would be that you would say to me, whatever it is that I need to repent of that stands between me and God, that I would please obey that as well. If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, today is the day of salvation. Today is the acceptable time. If you understand what it means to obey the gospel and you're ready to do that this morning, then we're prepared to help you. And God is prepared to forgive you and to remember your sins no more and to deliver you from the wrath that is to come through Jesus. If you are a Christian but you've lost sight of why God wants us to obey within the context of this covenant of grace, understand that it is a matter of love. Do you love me? I have delivered you from sin. I have delivered you from the bondage of sin and death. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do you know God? Do you love God? Are you abiding in Him and in His Word and bearing fruit to His glory? If not, you may be deceiving me, and you may be deceiving our watchmen who have been given the charge by the Holy Spirit to watch over our souls. You can fool Greg and Tony from now until the Lord Jesus comes, but there will be no fooling the omniscient God, who not only is everywhere at all times, but knows everything. He knows your heart. He knows whether it's set on Him. He knows whether you are wholehearted into your devotion. He knows, as He searches your heart and your mind and your soul, where you are in relation to Him. If you know this morning that you're not where you ought to be, then whatever you need to do to be right with Him, do that. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage